Brilliant. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for your word. And as we spend some time thinking about it now, I pray that you would bring it alive to us. Help us to have hearts that are willing to receive your love this morning. Amen. A few years ago, I had the amazing privilege of spending some time studying in Israel. I went to St. George's College in Jerusalem, and I spent 2 weeks learning all about the Palestine of Jesus. And I got to see all these amazing sites, got to see where Jesus preached and where Jesus walked, got to see the Garden of Gethsemane, the place where Jesus would have been crucified, the place where Jesus was brought back to life. And despite all these amazing memories, do you know what? The one enduring memory I have of that trip, and the one that moved me the most, was when I was sat on the bus traveling from the airport terminal to the plane to travel home. Never doubt what can happen in those last few minutes, because as I sat on that bus traveling to the airplane to travel back to the UK, something very profound happened. And it just happened through an ordinary human encounter. There was a little girl who was about 18 months years old. That doesn't make sense. There was a little girl who was about 18 months old, and she was sat there, and she was obviously traveling with her dad back to the UK. This was a Jewish family, and this little girl and her dad obviously had a very close relationship. And you could see this because every time the little girl was sat down and she couldn't see her dad within her eyesight, she would shout out, "Abba, Abba, Abba," and her dad would come and look her in the eyes, and she would start giggling hysterically and giggling with joy that she could see her dad, and her dad would hide again. And then she would shout out again, "Abba, Abba, Abba," and back again would come her dad, and she would start giggling with hysterical joy, so much joy that everybody in the whole bus was just watching this Jewish dad and his little girl playing this game of peekaboo, but it was all obviously taking place in Hebrew. I'm not sure how good you are at Hebrew, but obviously the word Abba is not referring to a Swedish pop group. It's referring to the word in Hebrew for God. And it kind of comes across as perhaps dad in English, but actually much more intimately than that. Actually, I think it's probably closer to the word daddy that we use in our English language today. So I want to just leave with you to start off that picture of that little girl crying out, "Abba, Abba, Abba," because I want that to be the basis of this sermon today. Because we're told in Romans 8, are all brought into adoption as sons and daughters of God our Father, and it's by the Spirit that we cry, "Abba, Father." That's from verse 15 of Romans 8. And so this morning, I want to encourage us that all of us are called to come to God with the same love, with the same excitement, with the same anticipation as that little girl came to her dad on the bus. We're all called to come to God and to cry out, "Abba, Abba, Abba," to God, to know him as our dad, as our daddy, and to not be afraid of coming to him and receiving his love this morning. But, of course, there's always a but. If you're anything like me, I'm sure that there are times in your life where you wonder if this can really be true, whether God can really love you as much as it would seem that this little girl loved her dad and her dad loved his little girl. And so this morning, using the story that we've read of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, I want to explore three reasons why we might be afraid of coming to God and receiving his love as our dad this morning. And hopefully that will help us to understand how we can come closer to God this morning. So why might we not believe we can come to God as our loving Father this morning? Well, first of all, I think very simply, it's because of fear. We are fearful about what other people will think if we tell them that God is our Father and that we are loved by God. And it's very easy to sing that in our songs of worship and to say that to each other when we're here in church, isn't it? But when we go outside through those doors and we meet people on the streets or we meet our colleagues at work or wherever we find ourselves in the week, and we tell them that we believe in a God who is our Father and loves us very much, that can sound a little bit strange and a little bit weird. And sometimes we might feel fearful about telling other people this amazing truth that whilst we're here on a Sunday morning changes our lives, but as soon as we get out through those doors, we might feel anxious about telling other people about. And I sense in the story of Nicodemus, there is a little bit of fear in his life as well. Because although he comes to Jesus at night, he doesn't want other people to see. So it's great that he came to Jesus, but the fact that he came when everybody else was in bed makes me a little bit suspicious that he didn't want anyone else to see. He was a Jewish Pharisee, a religious teacher, and clearly he could see there was something attractive in the person of Jesus, but he seems to be fearful about letting anybody else know that he respects Jesus and can see that the signs that he is doing points to him coming from God. And also, although he claims to be speaking on behalf of the other religious teachers, the other Pharisees, he seems to come alone. He doesn't seem to want to speak on behalf of everybody, but he seems to be speaking just by himself. So I sense a little bit of fear in Nicodemus. And of course, I can relate to this fear. Every now and again, there's a moment where someone asks me explicitly to describe something about my faith or my life, and there's that awful moment where you kind of think, oh my words, I'm going to have to be really honest that I'm a Christian, and I really do believe that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And this happened to me a few weeks ago. We're getting ready to move house in a few weeks' time, and you have to get 3 removals quotes in order to move within the Diocese of Ely, which is very easy, very straightforward. Apart from the only problem is you have to tell the people on the end of the phone that you are training to be a vicar, and this will need to go through the diocese and accounts, and there's various things that need to be in place to make this removal work. And so I did this with 2 companies, and they were very used to moving vicars, and one was called Bishop's Move, so that was very impressive. And then I got to a smaller local company, and they obviously had no experience of moving clergy ever before. And so we were speaking on the phone, and everything was going really well, and we arranged a time for this lady to come and to see around the house. And just as she was about to hang up, I was like, oh my word, Matthew, you've got to tell her, you've got to tell her. So I was like, and by the way, I'm training to be a vicar, and that's going to make things slightly different, but we can explain it, can't we, when we meet next week at the house. She's like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, great, I did it. I was brave. I told that I was going to be a vicar. I didn't hide that at all. And I thought, well done, Matthew, and everything went really well. Then about a week passed by, Caroline and I were at home, and there was a knock at the door, and I opened the door, and I just found a very flustered lady on the doorstep. And I was like, hi, I'm Matt. And she introduced herself, and she's like, I'm so sorry if I've addressed you wrongly. All week we've been talking in the office about how you address a vicar. Do I need to call you Your Grace? I'm not sure what to do. And then she came into our house, and as she was looking around, she was explaining to me what she was expecting. And as we were going around the bedroom, and I was showing her various embarrassing bags under the bed that needed to be moved and other stuff, she told me that when she thought of vicars, she thought of Ashley off Emmerdale. And in comparison, I was not like Ashley off Emmerdale, and I was a little bit trendy. And my wife, Caroline, was very trendy because she wasn't the stereotypical vicar's wife. So we've really held on to that claim that we are trendy, according to this removals company. But it really brought home to me, what do people think about us when we say that, well, first of all, we're going to be a vicar, or if, like for you guys, I imagine, that you love Jesus and you believe that God loves you. How do you feel in that moment when you are forced to be honest about that and to say that God is Abba, to say that God really is your loving Father? And I want to encourage us this morning to not have fear, because although it can be a little bit awkward and although it can be a little bit difficult at times to be honest, the amazing truth is that God really is our Father. And I remember when I was 16 and there was lots of awkwardness around, I didn't know what my parents would think if I went back from the youth camp I was on and told them that I'd become a Christian. I didn't know how my friends at school would react. There were lots of different people that I was worried about telling that I had become a Christian. But the best thing I did was to pray a prayer to Jesus and to ask him to come into my life, to accept God as my loving Father. Because when you experience that amazing love, when you experience that intimacy and that knowledge that God loves you and he's never ever going to let go of you, it has the power to completely change around your life. So I'd encourage you, in those moments where you feel awkward or you feel fearful about being honest about God's love, be honest. Embrace God's love. Don't be fearful. Know his love. So perhaps fear might stop us coming to know God as our Father. But also, I think sometimes we get in the way of us coming to know God's love. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but he was also a member of the Jewish ruling council. So in other words, he was the head honcho. He was a very important Jewish teacher, and he certainly knew his teaching, he knew his theology, and he would have been very well respected by all the people that were around him and he met on a day-by-day basis. But this knowledge and these skills, this deep understanding of theology that he has, seems to get in the way of him embracing God as his Father, understanding the love that Jesus offers him in this passage that we've read. In verse 4, he says to Jesus, how can someone be born again when they are old? How can that be possible? And then again in verse 10, Jesus actually picks him up on his inability to accept what Jesus is offering him. He says, you are Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things. Wow, what cutting words of Jesus to Nicodemus. And so often in my life, I find myself slipping into the same trap as Nicodemus. I find that I think I'm much better by myself, without God, without his help, and without his love. And every now and again, I get a moment of reality where I realize I really need God's love more than I think I actually do on a day-by-day basis. And again, as I've been getting ready for ordination, this really came home to me a few weeks ago when I was at college, and we had what is known as a tat fair. A tat fair. Now, to explain to you a tat fair, it's when we have a big lecture hall at college, and different people that make cassocks and clerical shirts and stoles and all sorts of fancy dress-up things all come in for the day. And the idea is you go along to the tat fair and you get to try on all these different things, and then you can place your order and you can buy the stuff, and hey presto, you can go and become a vicar. Well, hey, it was all very easy and very straightforward, or so I thought. Because the truth is, on a day-by-day basis, being at Theology College is not particularly hard. I mean, sometimes I struggle with my work, and sometimes God decides to do really deep things within me and to change me as a person, and that can be hard to embrace. But on a day-by-day basis, getting up, getting in the car, driving to college, saying prayers, having a cup of coffee, doing some work, having some lunch, doing some more work, saying some more prayers and going home, it's not particularly challenging. And to be honest, I could probably do that quite easily for the rest of my life, and it would be a very comfortable life and not very challenging. But suddenly, I found myself in the room, and someone was asking me what size my collar was, and then I was given a shirt to try on, and they told me to go to the toilet and to come back, and they would see how well it fitted, and so I went off all confident that this would be fine. And as I stood in the toilet, and I did up this shirt and put in this plastic collar and looked at myself in the mirror, I have to be honest, I freaked out quite dramatically. Because suddenly, this life of getting up and going to college and praying and studying and coffee and praying and studying and coffee and all that stuff was going to come to an end very soon, I realized. And suddenly the lecture hall where I just sat and studied on a day-by-day basis was transformed into this difficult place of confronting the reality that was about to hit me. And so I just stood there in the toilet and tried to take some selfies and to fake that I was okay with it, fake that I was happy and enjoying wearing a dog collar. And eventually, after I'd been in the toilet for about 10, 15 minutes, somebody else came and found me and asked if I'd like to go back to the lecture hall with them and whether that would make me comfortable. So I did eventually go back to the lecture hall, and it was fine. But later that week, as I was reading the ordinal and the charges that the bishop makes to deacons and later to priests as you're ordained in the church, I found a really tiny line towards the end of it. It says all the different things you're expected to do, and then towards the end it says, but you can only do this in God's strength. You can only do this in God's strength. And I realized, wow, I got in the way there of receiving God's love. I got in the way there of knowing God, because I was so het up on making sure that I knew what was right. I was so hepped up on my own ability to study and to drink coffee and to pray using common worship and all the stuff that I was meant to do, I'd managed to leave God out of the picture. And I just want to encourage us today that sometimes in our life, when everything is going well and we don't feel we're particularly challenged, we perhaps slip into the times where we think that we don't need to receive God's love, or we don't need to know him as our loving Father. There are certainly times in my life where work's been going well, where everything is fine in our house, where everything is fine in our family, and there's nothing that I need to really rely on God, or so it seems, and I don't really feel like I need to know his love. But often in those times where things are going wrong, where I feel like there is something I need to bring to God, something that's really difficult in my work, or a person that I'm really struggling with, or illness, or something else that's happening in my family, it's in those times that I need to draw near to God and to know his love. And I want to encourage us this morning to not let ourselves get in the way of doing that all the time, to make sure that that is our daily routine of drawing near to God and knowing his love, not just in the times that are bad or difficult, but also day by day in the lives that we live. So don't let fear stop us coming near to God. Don't let ourselves get in the way of coming to God. And finally, perhaps another reason why we don't come towards God and we don't come and draw near to him and know his love is that perhaps, and this is being very honest, perhaps we don't believe it's true. Perhaps we don't believe that God could really love us the way that we are, with our history and our lives. The God who sees everything Could he really love me? John 3:16 is probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read that passage, I think, wow, okay, God might love the rest of the world, so he might love all you guys enough to come into the world and to love you. But could he really love me? Could he really love Matt Phillips enough to send his son to die in order to show me his love? Is that really possible? And I guess at the heart of this is that all of us, we all know what it is like to be in a loving relationship. We all know what it's like to be in a friendship with someone, or even to be in a relationship with somebody like a teacher, someone that we respect and become someone that we look up to. But we also know as well that relationships, especially human relationships, they often fall apart. Many of us will have been in friendships or relationships or even professional relationships where we've seen them fall apart, where things have become very difficult. And when difficult things happen, I know that often my kind of gut instinct is to kind of turn myself away from putting myself in that situation again. I want to protect my heart. I want to make sure that those scars and those wounds that I've encountered don't come back ever again. And so I think, right, in the future, I'm never going to put myself in the position where I pour out everything and invest everything in this person for them to just turn their back on me and for them to forget that I exist. It's hard loving people. It's hard being in a relationship with other people. And sometimes I think when we look at God our Father, we think of all these human relationships and the messiness of human relationships, and we think, wow, you know, I don't know if I can really invest in this relationship. Can God really love me as much as he promises? Is that really true? But I think that we have to really park these fears, and we have to realize that God as Father to us is completely unlike any human equivalent that we've ever experienced ever before in our lives. And I want to, just to finish this morning, in just a moment, show you a video of somebody called Rick Hoyt. And some of you might have seen this video before, but Rick was born in 1962. And as he was being born, he was deprived of oxygen to his brain. And so when he was born, he had severe learning difficulties, and he was also severely handicapped. He couldn't move his arms or his legs. And the hospital where he was born said to his mum and dad, you may as well just leave him, let him go and live in an institution and just get on with your lives. And they actually used the word vegetable to describe Rick Hoyt. There was nothing that the hospital staff felt that he could do with his life. But his parents were determined that they were going to raise Rick just like any other son, so they brought him home, and they loved him. As time went on, they found ways for Rick to communicate. They had a computer system for him to be able to write words and communicate words to his other friends and family. And as time went on, one day Rick came home from school, where he even began to study, and said to his parents, I want to run a 500-meter race. And of course, obviously, this was impossible for Rick. He couldn't run this race. And so his dad decided that he was going to push his wheelchair and he was going to run for him in this race. And it went on, and Rick had a great time. And afterwards he said, you know, when I was running that race, I felt like I wasn't handicapped. I felt like I wasn't handicapped. And so his dad, and this is the picture that I want you to take hold of, the amazing picture of the dad in this video. His dad decided that he was going to spend the rest of his life making sure that Rick was able to run as many races as he possibly could. And as time went on, they went on to do triathlons and to do Ironmans, all sorts of different things, which I don't think I could even do as a physically well and fit person. But the amazing thing is that Rick's dad pushes him, carries him, swims with him, does everything he needs to help him participate in the different things that he felt that he was called to do. And so I want us to watch this video. I know it's a bit awkward because we haven't got the middle screen, but I feel like it's a really powerful video and it will really bless us. So if you're able, I feel like an air stewardess, but if you're able to kind of move to the side so you can see these videos, I just encourage you to watch this video. And as you watch this video, just let your image of what it means to know God as a loving Father be challenged this morning. Is everybody okay? Great. Let's watch the video and then I'll come and wrap us up.
can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees? I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
It's an amazing picture, isn't it, of how much one father can love his son. And for everything that he pours out into that relationship to make it possible for him to do the things that he loves. And I'm sure that Rick absolutely adores his father as well. I'm sure he loves him to bits. And so I just want to end this morning by encouraging us. Sorry, I feel like I've made lots of people cry. I feel quite emotional myself as well. That we should never, ever stop drawing near to God. We should never, ever feel fearful of coming into his love. We should never let ourselves ever come in the way of drawing to God. We should never be fearful that he won't accept us when we come to him, because he really does love us, just like that little girl crying out, Abba, 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 on the bus. That's, I think, how God wants us to come to him, ready to embrace him and to love him. And of course, we don't understand, or we don't know even what happens to Nicodemus after this encounter. But we are given a hint a bit later on in John's Gospel, in John chapter 19. Nicodemus is one of those people who helps to take down Jesus' body from the cross. And there's no shame, there's no fear, and clearly he's not fearful of encountering God's love anymore. So just like that little girl on the bus, by the end of Nicodemus' adventure, by the end of the time that he's encountered Jesus, he has come to know God as Abba. He has come to know God as his daddy. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for this picture of you as our dad. And I pray that this morning as we sit here, that you would help us to know your love. Help us to know you as an intimate father. And we just put aside all of our fears, all of our doubts, all of our questions, all the things that scare us about drawing near to you. Help us this morning to just know you as our loving father. Help us to delight in being your sons and daughters. Amen. I think we're going to sing together.